sown on good ground. Those who hear the word,
accept it, and bear fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100.
Happy Sabbath, everyone. Okay. I am definitely glad to be here today, seeing everyone being well. I'm not 100%, but I am 100% spiritually. I'm 100% in the sense that God has restored a lot. And I'm very grateful because I know a lot of that has to do with all the love and support that I got from each and one of you. So thank you so much for your prayers. They definitely helped. Later on, I'll tell you a little testimony in regards to that. But I also thank you for your compassion and your care for my family. I know that my wife said thank you, but I couldn't help myself but to also say thank you. So I'm very appreciative of that. And I'm also grateful because Summer's here and others also that got contempt, Cindy and John, they're here. And so I'm also grateful because God protected them. And they also felt that same love and compassion from our church. So thank you so much. And I may have a little bit of short breath at times, so excuse my pauses or if anything like that, or if I just faint or just keep preaching. So, might happen, but I'm working on it. I have September 17th through the 27th, I will be heading to Dominican Republic for a youth evangelism that I was invited to. And so I'm excited about that, but I don't know how, between now and then, how my strength will be. So pray for me still in regards to that. I'm excited because it's international, and it'll be my first solo thing, evangelism, in Spanish, which, believe it or not, that's my second language, which I'm still practicing. So I have all the material in English, and I have to translate it. So I have a lot of work to do. I didn't expect COVID to happen, so I have a lot of work to do. But I know the Lord will bless. I know the Lord will restore. I know He's going to do what He needs to do to have me over there and being able to preach to the young people. I spoke to Miss Becky, our sister. She's doing a lot better. For those that, you know, may not have contact with her, she says hello to everyone. She wishes, she is in Brewster today, and she wished so badly. I don't know, she's not here, right? I just want to make sure, looking. She wished so badly to be here today with y'all. She's like, I miss my church folk. I said, well, you can just come to the door and say hello. But she's still weak, and, you know, she's just recuperating still from the chemo and all that. But she's up. I mean, she called me twice, and unfortunately, I was in bed at the time and dealing with fever. But she called me to let me know she was praying for me, and I felt so. I mean, someone that needs prayer called me to tell me that they were praying for me too. So that was pretty awesome as well. So continue praying for her and her recovery and her fight with cancer. I know the Lord is gonna do a big things for her, and she's going to stand up here one day and give her testimony. Amen? Okay, with that being said, I want to go ahead and dive in into the sermon. Before I dive into the sermon, we have two special baptisms today. Amen? We have Isaac and Karen. And I had the pleasure of visiting Karen. She is hilarious. Karen is hilarious. And so is her husband, Jimmy. I really appreciate them. Karen, if you can come up real quick, and Isaac as well. Isaac is a cool dude. If you guys can come up, I like to read because we're going to be in an outdoor environment and things of that nature, and I don't know if everyone is going to come to your baptism, I wanted to at least read your vows for today as witness that you and Isaac, together, you guys are accepting, are a witness of accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So this is just the short vows here that I'm going to read. If you can just stand here together. And then just raise your right hand. Just raise your right hand as I read the vows and you accept them. Do you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord? And do you desire to live your life in a saving relationship with Him?
Yes.
Amen. Do you accept the teachings of the Bible as expressed in the statement and the fundamental beliefs of the Seventh-day Adventist Church? And do you pledge by God's grace to live your life in harmony with these teachings?
Yes.
Amen. And last question is, do you desire to be baptized as a public expression of your belief in Jesus Christ, to be accepted into fellowship of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and to support the church and its mission as a faithful steward by your personal influence, tithes and offerings, and a life of service?
Yes.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, everyone. These are our members, and they're already part of the family, but thank you again for accepting, and so we pray that God will continue to work in your lives. The good stuff will be at Summer's home. Thank you, Summer, and or the Flemings, for opening up your home, and even with your recovering as well from all this, but thank you for opening up your home, and the part and little pool there, the Met How, is pretty awesome. So I can't wait to get into that cold water. It's going to be awesome. All right. Let us pray so the Lord can bless us in this small message that I have for you guys today. Heavenly Father in heaven, I just want to thank you once more for your awesomeness. I can't thank you enough for the love and the blessings that you give us every single day. Sometimes we take you for granted, Father. Sometimes we forget to say thank you. Sometimes we forget to look back and come back to run into your arms. And thank you for just that compassion, that love that you have, unconditional love you have for us. Father, as I speak today, maybe your words and not mine, move our hearts, our souls. Help us, Father, to understand the word and how important it is, not only to our lives, but to those that surround us as well. We love you and we thank you and we pray for this in the name of Jesus. Amen. There is a there's this story of this gentleman. He liked to have gardens. I know a lot of people around here like to have gardens. We can't wait to purchase our home so that we can have our garden too, even though we kill everything. But we're going to try, right, baby? But this man had a garden, and he had a neighbor that was a little jealous of his garden, you know, because everything this man planted seemed to just sprout and grow and flourish, and he shared a lot of his garden with others in the neighborhood. And so as this man started gardening, he had this special spot that he wanted to place. He started digging and basically preparing the ground for the seeds that he was going to plant. And as he was planting, the gentleman, his neighbor, was looking and seeing that every day this man would wake up and water this particular garden that seemed to not flourish, not grow at all, for whatever reason. And 2 months passed by, 3 months passed by, summer passed by, and this man still goes out and feeds this garden all the nutrients and all the water. And at one point, this gentleman said, "This man is crazy. All he keeps doing is feeding this pile of dirt that's there. Nothing seems to grow." But this man, every year, 1 year passed, 2 year passed, nothing was growing. 3rd year passed. And so he said, "You know what? I got to talk to my friend. I think he's a little delusional. I think he needs to give up. By the fifth year, he decided to go talk to his friend. 5 years. 5 years, he goes and talks to his friend, and he says, "My friend, I've been watching you for 5 years, five long years, feeding water and nutrients to this pile of dirt. Are you okay? What are you doing?" And the gentleman tells him, "Oh, this area right here? Yeah, yeah, yeah." He says, "Well, you just wait and see what happens. I planted some seeds there, and they're supposed to grow." And he says, "Impossible. They haven't grown in 5 years. Just give it some time." Well, sure enough, a couple months later, it started springing up some plants, you know, kind of like trees. And all of a sudden, his neighbor started watching little by little how these trees or these little plants became these tall, gigantic bamboo trees. They were bamboo trees. See, bamboo trees, you plant them and you water them, but it takes 5 years to even sprout out of the ground. Amazingly, a tree, normal trees, you know, your oaks and all that, the minute it hits the ground, it only takes a couple of weeks or months to, you know, spring up. But the differences between a bamboo and a regular tree is that the regular tree, even though it springs up, it takes about, to grow maturely, it takes about 10 years roughly, 10 to 20 years sometimes, roughly, to spring about. Whereas a bamboo tree, the minute that it grows from the ground and it pops up, in 90 days, it grows over 100 feet tall. That's pretty impressive. In 90 days, roughly, it grows about 110 feet tall. Why do I tell this story? Because in the book of Mark, chapter 4, I believe there's a similar story or parable that Jesus tells. And it has, and I believe it connects a lot with us. But let's take a look and see what was going on here. Jesus had just experimented some disappointments. Number one, he was disappointed in the Pharisees' thought of him being a king or being this Messiah and confusing him for Satan. And then on top of that, he also had his own family, his own blood, his mother and his brother deny who he is, have doubts in who he is. As a matter of fact, they accused him and said, "Are you crazy, basically? Is this man insane?" And that's kind of hard to take when your own family denies you, right? But Jesus knew that this was much bigger than them and him and everything. And in verse 4, he begins to tell this parable. You know, there was a great multitude, it says, that was gathered. And so he felt like he needed to distance himself from them so that he can speak to them. And he's told this parable in verse 3. And it may be familiar to some of you, but let's take a look at it and see how this parable, this teaching of Christ, applies not only to these individuals that were listening there, but to us today as well. It says, "Listen. Listen, are we listening? Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it." And so Ellen White talks about a little bit, she dives into about how Jesus used to take these parables out of what he was surrounded by. And being there in the Sea of Galilee and being able to, he was actually in a particular town in which did a lot of sowing and harvesting. Okay, they did a lot of planting and things to that nature. And so as he was there, he knew the people that he was speaking to. He was speaking to farmers, to individuals that knew how to toil the ground and make things grow from the ground up. And so as he was looking on the wayside, he was able to see this particular place. And I'm going to get a little bit off topic here. When I was able to go to Israel, I was in a similar place, if not the place, where Jesus was able to tell this particular parable. And although the grounds looked totally different, because now it's desert, almost rocky desert, I can just picture it as I was just there, and the actual gentleman that was our tour guide, he was explaining exactly this particular story, okay? And the most amazing thing was that when he finished, I allowed him to finish, I asked him, I said, "Sir, how would you know the terrain? How would you know what was here? Because it was all, you know, it was all desert now." And he says to me, "Well, because my, you know, in reading and knowing this information, you know, I went to school but also the locals will tell you that this area here was preserved for farming." And I said, "Oh, okay." And I kind of, when I went to read in Christ Object Lessons, this particular passage through Ellen G. White and how she was describing the whole thing, it's amazing because she really tells in detail how exactly it was. But she's never been to Israel. She's never been to the landscape of which, and to have the information in her hands from an encyclopedia would have been a little bit hard. Okay, not saying that she probably didn't have it, but it would have been a little bit hard. And for her to speak to someone that has been there, much harder as well. Because back then, that wasn't just an easy trip. That was not just a flight across the ocean. You understand what I'm saying? Ellen White was inspired. And so there were some things here that I didn't see before as she was speaking on this. There were certain things here that I didn't see before that I see now. And I want to share some of those nuggets with you. So one of those were the terrain was very important and to understand. The second one is, as we read by, it says that after this, verse 5, some fell on the stony ground. Some of these seeds, they fell on the stony ground where it did spring up because it didn't have no depth of earth. And verse 6 says, but when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it was no roots, it withered away. Verse 7 says, and some seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, produced some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. And I love when Jesus says this. He says, and he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. There's a reason why he says this, and we're going to go back to that. So just keep that in mind. So he tells this parable. Some people are dumbfounded. They don't understand what's going on. They don't understand what it means. And so specifically, there was a group of individuals, including his disciples, that said, we want to know what this means. We want to understand what this means. And Jesus goes on to give the purpose of parables. But in verse 13, he gives an understanding. And this is where I want to kind of jump into. Verse 13, he says, and he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? And I believe that a lot of times, we tend to not understand certain things in the Bible. I remember when I was a teenager, when I was young, I did not want to understand Revelation and Daniel, okay? I really didn't. When we would come to those seminars and they would show those dragons and the six-headed beast and all these other things, I was like, why do I need to know this? And the Armageddon and all this, I just felt like it was just so overwhelming and my ears were closed. I said, the only thing I need to understand is that I have Jesus and Jesus saves and that is it. That's just the way I was thinking. And I refused to learn, and to a certain extent, I refused to learn about Daniel and Revelation and the eschatology of Seventh-day Adventism. And I believe that hindered me. I really believe that hindered me. If I was able to tell my younger self, I would tell him to just go ahead and dive into it. Some of us, huh, Karen, have been studying Daniel for a long, long, long time. For years. Amen. I was telling Doug that I was stuck on chapter 2 for a long time because when I took Daniel for my bachelor's, I dropped a class like 3 times. And every single time it had to happen to be right after Daniel 2. And so I know Daniel 2 very well. I was an expert on Daniel 2. But after that, you couldn't ask me anything. It was that fear. But you see, these particular individuals, the disciples, were not fearful. They wanted to know. They yearned for the deepness in which God spoke with that, in which Jesus spoke with that authority. And so Jesus, he was just like eager. It's like a teacher when they see the kids' eyes just light up because they understand something or they love that social studies class and that history or whatever it is. And so that's how Jesus saw these individuals. Their eyes just lit up for the word. Do our eyes light up for the word of God? Is the question today. So the sower, he comes and tells them the parable in verse 14. The sower sows the word. What is the word, my friends? The word of God. Amen. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear it, it says Satan comes immediately and takes it away. He's comparing the birds that come to devour the word. He's comparing it to whom? To Satan. See, this is Satan who comes and takes immediately these words and takes them away that was sown in their hearts. That's pretty tough, my friends, because that's what was happening to me when I was young. I didn't allow certain things to come in. You know why? You know why? Because my mind was distracted. And it doesn't only happen when we're young, my friends. This happens when we get older, too. We're so distracted. We already come with our preconceived notions. And we're quick to judge. We don't hear the preacher. We're just like, oh, I already know this. I don't need to know this. Or we can come and say, oh, what he's speaking is not right. It's just not right. And so we put all these excuses. We do whatever we can. We blame Satan a lot of times. But the truth is that Satan is just... He's just so happy because he knows he threw that problem at you or he did whatever it had to do for you to allow that word to not be received into the depths of your heart, into the good soil. Amen. And so these likewise, it says, are the ones on stony ground. See, these are the ones that harden their hearts at times by the wayside. And so he compares this other one to the stony grounds. It says, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. How many times have we not come to church and said, yeah, that was a good sermon. He preached the word today. It was under 15 minutes. Amen. Hallelujah. Right? Or maybe there was this sweet talk, right? The soft gospel. The gospel that we all learn to love and enjoy because it doesn't really penetrate, doesn't really cut deep into the wounds of our hearts. And so these individuals, they get excited about the word, but what happens to them? Well, immediately when they receive it with gladness, they do not have no root in themselves. And so endure only for a time. And afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. And so that happens to many of us. Being 15, 20 years in church, we get excited about something. It could be about anything, really. I'm not going to point fingers or anything like that, but it could be about something that we really need to change in our lives, that God is really speaking to our hearts, and he's trying to have that conviction over us and saying, listen, this is what you need to change. This is what you need to surrender, because in the reality, we can't do the change ourselves, because anytime that we do our change ourselves, we go back to the dirt, we go back to the mud. What we need is life-changing Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, changing us completely. Surrendering that thing that is just grabbing us and keeping us away from. So we get excited because we feel like we're going to change. We feel like something's going to happen. But the reality is, when the test of time comes, when we experience some turmoil in our lives, we easily forget those things because we never had him rooted deep in our hearts. We didn't pray about it. We didn't supplicate enough. We didn't really look for it in the Word of God. And so that's why this particular seed, even though it springs up, it perishes. Now, these are the ones in verse 18. These are the ones sown among thorns. They're the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires of other things entering and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So, and this one is very similar to the previous one, but it's a little bit more intense, because they receive the word. It seems like though it's rooted, it springs up, but there's something deeper out there that chokes us up. And from just reading this particular verse, from just reading it over it, and just, I cannot say much more, but when it says here, the deceitfulness of riches and the desires, what is it that we really want to be rich of? What is our deepest desire? What is your desire today? What is my desire today? Is it really to live the gospel? Or is it a desire? Or is it something where it's, yeah, I live this. This is my world, and this is Jesus' world, and I just come whenever I come and please. I think that we struggle a lot with this, because although we have things and desires, and it's not bad to want to have an education and to have a house and to have, I'm not talking about that. This is something that's a little bit deeper than that, my friends. This is letting go and knowing that what can choke us up is when Jesus says, leave everything and come follow me. Will we be willing to do that when the time comes? Or will the things of this world choke us up? And I think that in speaking to some of you, you've already experiencing that in your lives with your work, with this whole pandemic thing. And this is just the beginning of the birth pains. And it says here in verse 20, to conclude, it says, but these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruits, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Today's sermon title is All Seeds Matter, Care to Plant. Why did I title it this way? There's so many different sermons that I can take from this particular parable. I love it to death. It's one of my favorite parables. The reason I chose this one today is because as a church, I feel that we have an obligation. We have an obligation to spread the gospel to the world. And Jesus, in his time, he was doing the same thing. He was trying to spread the gospel to the world. Repent and come to the kingdom of God. And so, in this particular moment, he was frustrated. He was frustrated because The people were looking for a sign. They were looking for some type of miracle. They were looking for some liberation of their oppression. And I believe that the world today is looking for the same thing. But Jesus had a different mindset. He did not belong to this world. He had a better world. His world. Spiritual world. And he understood that at this particular moment, the disciples needed to understand something if they were going to be his disciples. And it was this. See, the sower, it says here, sows the word. Plain and simple. The sower sows the word. They have one job, right? Sow the word. This particular sower, when he started sowing, wasn't picky. And where the seeds fell. What did he do? He just did the work. He just sowed the word. He just threw the seeds wherever they may fall. I had a friend that I remember giving him Bible studies. And we spent about 4 or 5 months, you know, something like that. And in and out of the Bible studies and just wrestling with some topics. And at the end, I said, well, this is it, my friend. It is up to you. You know, to accept what you've read. We've went over and over again these topics. It is up to you whether or not to accept by faith what we have read. It was a call for baptism, but I kind of felt like he didn't want to make that choice. And all I did was just sow the seed. I did what the Lord asked me to do. 3 or 4 months later, he calls me up. Pastor Omar, you know, I've given some thought about everything that we, you know, spoke about. And today I want to tell you that I want to get baptized. 5 months later, we haven't spoken in a while. And he calls me up. And his first hello is to let me know that he wants to get baptized. Some of us have to go through the wayside. Some of us have to go through the stony ground, the thorns, and that's okay. Jesus is patient. God is patient with us. You know, when he said here, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He wasn't being super duper specific. He says that because it's a little bit of him saying, and him repeating it twice, let him hear who those who have to hear, is because simply he knows that this message has to come back. It doesn't end with the parable itself. The message will continue moving forward. Today you may hear, and tomorrow you may not. Or vice versa. Today you may not hear, and tomorrow you may hear. And it is why he says those particular words. And so I understand through here, through this particular verse, the reason I say all seeds matter, and I use that because, you know, we have all these type of movements going on with what things matter and don't matter or whatever. All seeds matter is because everywhere we go, everywhere we stand, we should be able to share that seed of the gospel some way, somehow, either with our actions, because actions speak louder than words, or with, hey, I'll pray with you, or I'm here for you, or bringing me some delicious cookies, like many of you did. All those are actions, my friends. All those are ways that you spread the gospel to someone that is helpless, whether they're in bed, whether they're, you know, going through a tough situation, all seeds matter. God is giving us the opportunity to spread the gospel to a world that is hurting desperately. It is in need of a savior. You already know that savior, or at least I hope you do. Many of you do. Why not share that savior? Why not care to plant that seed in someone else's life? I don't know if I already told this story, but I love it, so I'm going to tell it one last time. I had a friend that wanted me to baptize him. He wanted to baptize his whole family, including himself, in Hawaii. And I thought that was beautiful. I've never been to Hawaii. And he said, "Pastor, I will pay for you to go with me to Hawaii and baptize me." And I said, "Oh, you don't have to do that. You know, I'll figure out how to come up with the money and go." He goes, "No, Pastor, I can't let you do that." So I said, "Okay, if you insist." Well, I had the most incredible experience over there, besides almost losing my life. At one point, we were talking, him and I. The ladies went somewhere. I forgot where you guys went. But the ladies went somewhere, and it was, grocery shopping. While we stayed at the jacuzzi at the pool where they went grocery shopping. They didn't trust the guys going grocery shopping. And so we're sitting there, and as I'm sitting there, I'm looking across. He's speaking to me, but I'm looking around in my surroundings because I'm looking for the kids. You know, guys forget sometimes that we leave the kids around and they could be drowning or something. We don't even know. And so I'm looking for the kids, you know, trying to be proactive. And I see this gentleman and he's sitting down with his Bible open. And I'm like, wow, that's interesting. Someone on their vacation in this beautiful resort with their Bible open, push, push, smack in my face, right? So I'm like, okay, well, I knew for some reason deep in my heart that if my friend would have seen that, he would have approached this gentleman to ask him what he's studying, because that's the personality that he is, that he's all about. So I immediately get up. I say, "Hey, man, I'm going to go check on the kids. I don't see them." And they were somewhere in another pool. So when I come back, he comes also and says, "Oh, is my son okay?" And then I said, "Yeah, they're over there." So he goes to see the son. But in our cross, he didn't see the guy with the Bible, right? And I kind of did that on purpose because I wanted to see if he was going to say something to him, if I was right. So as I'm walking slowly away, I can sense that he's coming back. And sure enough, it was the funniest thing. He goes, instead of going in front of the gentleman, he goes behind the seat of the gentleman to see what he's studying. And I kind of saw a little bit of what he was studying. He was in the book of Revelation. And my friend is all about Revelation. And so he's all about the mark of the beast. And so he goes, and he twirls. It was the funniest thing. It was like a little kid. He twirls around like a little kid. And he says, "Hi, how you doing?" And he just starts speaking to this individual, like preaching to him, you know, and they're just going back and forth. And the guy's just soaking up everything that my friend is saying. And I'm just watching the whole entire time, watching this unravel until he comes and points at me. He goes, "Yeah, that's my pastor over there." And I'm like, oh boy, you know, like I was like, "Can't believe you just said that." So I have to get up, of course, and go and introduce myself. Mind you, I passed this gentleman. This man saw me pass him like two times already. And so the embarrassment settled in. And I was like, "How you doing? You know, I see that you're studying this and that." And my friend's like, "Hey, Omar, we need to get this man a DVD." And da, 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 and he's just like going on. And he goes, and he just starts again speaking to this individual. "Right, Pastor? Tell him what it is." And I'm like, yeah, right. And I'm just trying to put everything together. Well, I want to tell you that wasn't the only individual that he spoke to. This man, when we came from the airport, when we're hopping onto the plane that we had to check in our bags, this man, his bag was overweight about 10 pounds. You know why it was overweight 10 pounds? Because he brought every piece of literature. He told me to bring some too, so I brought like two or three tracks. This man brought every piece of literature that pastor gave him, plus DVDs and CDs and all the type of things that you could have in the bag. And so I had to take some of his stuff and put it in mine so they don't overcharge us. By the time we finished our trip, right, Barbara? He gave every single piece of literature to all the hotel employees, every DVD that we had, every pamphlet that we had. It was funny because the last one that he had, he says to me, it was kind of funny. We were in the plane and he sees the stewardess come back and forth, back and forth. He's like, Omar, Pastor Omar, I feel like I gotta give this one to her. She's the one. And I'm like, hey man, you do what you gotta do. He goes, you know what? Why don't you do it? And I had no choice but to give this pamphlet to this lady. My friends, I wish I was like that. I wish I was as bold as that. But I'm tired of wishing. As I was sitting in my bed and sick and thinking, saying my last prayers, thinking that I'm going to probably die at some point, I ask God for forgiveness for all my sins and try to think about all the sins that I've committed. I'm like, oh, I can't believe I did all that. And finally, I come to the conclusion that I wasn't going to die, that I still had work to do in here with my Lord and also work out there. All seeds matter, and I do care to plant, and I hope that you do too. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you knowing that we are unworthy a lot of times because we haven't done the work that you've asked us to do. Forgive us for falling short of your glory and of the expectations put on us. We know that the work is plenty. There's enough for everybody to go around because the laborers are few. But it shouldn't stop us. Wherever the seed lands, it lands. That is not our job to determine where the seed should land, but that it lands somewhere in someone's heart. And it may have to land a million times before they accept it. But may we do our job diligently in planting the seeds. Father, I thank you because the seeds were planted in two individuals today, and in Karen and Isaac. And I hope that as that seed is planted into their hearts, that they also can bear the fruits that give seeds as well. May that be the same for all of us today as we go out there in the world during this week and see the need of others having that seed planted in them like it was in us. We love you, Father, and so we can't wait to see you, and so we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Once more, we come to you, God, just thanking you so much for giving us the opportunity to hear the gospel and accept it. We just pray, Father, that we continue to spread it around the world, wherever that may be, that you may bring the souls to us if we're afraid to go to them, and that we may be able to share the way you want us to. We love you, and we pray for, as we head to our potluck and everything, that you continue to be with us on this wonderful and beautiful Sabbath. Bless everyone here in their homes. We love you. We thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen.